pictures that we send back are unbelievable. You know, our photographers are the best, and they do a great job of capturing it. But it's hard to describe what it's like when you're really there. I don't think any kind of image can do it justice. You know, when you stand there in the middle of that devastation, and you look around you and you see what this has done, and then you try to picture what it must have been like to be there or to be near it and watch that water come and do what it did. It's almost indescribable. I mean, the sheer force of it is just incredible. You know, we saw huge trucks being picked up. We didn't see them, but we saw them, you know, sitting on top of houses after they had been picked up and thrown. We saw a huge tugboat in one city that had been picked up and moved inland probably 10 to 12 blocks, and it's still sitting there. I mean, I'm sure they haven't moved it yet. I mean, just the sheer force of this and to see the aftermath of it, it really is hard to describe just the sheer power of this thing.
And such a wide area that was struck, and so it seems almost overwhelming. Your sense of the people, do they feel devastated?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you saw many, many people who were able to get to higher ground and then come back to see what was left of their homes. And in many, many cases, there was just nothing left. But they just had this look of shell shock. And I even did a story on this one of the days I was there. I touched partially on this. It's a strange kind of psychological study, because you see people kind of coming back to houses that really just don't even exist anymore. And they start to pick through things. Try to pick up some things that may have been left, even if it's hardly a remnant left. I mean, they'll try to pick through some things and try to find some of their belongings. And one of the rescuers who has seen this before in Haiti, who is actually a doctor, told me that this is kind of the way you avoid going insane in a situation like this. You try to put together some kind of piece of your previous life. And start to do things that you think are normal, even though nothing really is normal from that point. And you just couldn't help but feel for these people. I mean, they had this look of shell shock. They're picking through their houses and trying to get their lives back together. But for so many of them, you just don't really see it happening anytime soon.
And from our perspective of our audience, the government folks who have been there, they dealt with Katrina, where just things, you had this just constant barrage, and every time you felt like you had your arms around something, you didn't. Is there that, your sense of how the government is able to deal with this?
Well, the Japanese government is overwhelmed. They're doing the very best they can, and frankly, if any government can handle it, they can. But, you know, they have so many catastrophes to deal with now and just to try to get their arms around the nuclear situation, they haven't done a very good job of that, or at least they haven't done a very good job of letting the public know what's going on with that, much less than having to deal with the devastation. Now, they have been able to get people into shelters, but this kind of thing, it would take even the most efficient government many, many years to sort out and to get people back on their feet. The Japanese can probably do it as well as anybody else can, but it's going to take several years. And you get the feeling that as far as the way they're handling it now is concerned, they're maybe in as much of a shell shock as the people are, because they are really struggling with this.
It seems, I mean, we've seen towns, and I saw you walking around some rubble that used to be a town, where almost it was like this town was just stripped away.
It really was. There was one town that we went to called Unosumai, which was on the coast. Well, they're all on the coast, the ones that really got heavily hit, of course. And really, there's nothing left of it. There's no way, really, that you can imagine that town being rebuilt, because it really did strip away everything. There were a couple of structures left, a couple of, like, two- or three-story apartment buildings, but really nothing. Even those are just completely swept through. I mean, the fact that they're standing is just happenstance, really. And you just don't see, really, any chance that kind of town is going to be rebuilt. And also, Chris, what you don't really get a sense of is how many people were lost, because many people did get to higher ground, but many, of course, didn't. And the authorities were telling us that they fear that the whole families got swept away, and they may never be able to get an accurate count of just how many were lost.
I know you've been talking to the rescuers there, and because you got to go over with the folks from Virginia who are often called to these situations. Yeah. Are there any lessons learned out of this that even we can apply here at home? I mean, look at how D.C. just reacts in snow, for goodness sakes. One imagines this kind of just broad catastrophe, how we deal with it. Any lessons that we can learn?
I think there are many that you can learn. For one, I think in the case of the United States or Japan or whatever government is dealing with it, I think you learn if the situation is this devastating, don't hesitate and don't wait to ask for help. The Japanese waited. They were, you know, they're a very proud government, a very, very proud culture. They think they can handle this kind of thing. Clearly, this is more than almost anybody can handle. And they waited at least a day or two. I mean, we were waiting here in Virginia for the order to go with these teams. I mean, it was a full day. It was more than a full day. And then they finally got the order to go, and it took them almost 2 days to get there with all their equipment. And, of course, by that time, you know, the window for saving anybody is almost closed. And so the lesson is you've got to simply be able to deploy faster. Governments have to be able to ask other governments for help and do it more quickly. And there has to be a better system in place for getting aid, at least this immediate first response aid, like rescue teams, to these places a little bit faster. And the interesting part of that is, in Haiti, these teams from L.A. and Fairfax County went to Haiti as well, but the irony is that because there was really no functioning government there, they could just land and go almost wherever they want immediately, and because they could do that, they saved many more lives. Now, it was a different situation. A tsunami really doesn't leave many, if any, survivors. So there may not have been many to pick out anyway. But just the fact that you have an organized government who kind of takes its time asking for help and wants to go through all the channels, there just has to be a better way to do that and a quicker way to do that. And I think the lesson is that maybe there are some things that can be worked on to streamline the process a little bit more and maybe get people there faster who can help.
And you can't, I mean, it's just the 1-2-3 punch, the earthquake, then the tsunami, and now the ongoing nuclear issue I can't even imagine.
Right, and the nuclear issue simply keeps changing. I mean, something new happens at that plant almost every day as far as a setback, and then they make two steps forward. They're still dealing with that one reactor that's giving them problems. Now they're dealing with the fallout, from possible radiation in the water supply, not only in that prefecture of Fukushima, but also possibly in Tokyo. They want to make sure they keep this in perspective and not cause a panic because they're not really at such widespread unhealthy levels of radiation, at least at the moment. But it's a very, very difficult situation. It's hard for them to deal with it on a daily basis. And, of course, they're really struggling with getting the information out there in an accurate way, but also in a way that they don't want to cause panic.